Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
Ultimately, the sin is against God, and only God can forgive sin. Doesn't mean we haven't offended other people, but it means that ultimately it is a sin against God. You say, it's a victimless crime, it's a victimless sin, it's just me and that's all. No, ultimately you sin against God. I will not do this great wickedness and sin against God.
Joseph truly knew what it meant to live for God. He wanted righteousness more than pleasure, more than popularity, even more than wealth. Joseph loved God, and that motivated all other aspects of his life. So when moments of temptation came around, Joseph considered God first, and from that love came the strength to do the right thing. With more from Genesis 39 and our series Integrity, here's Robert Furrow.
The Bible says that there's a day coming when men will call evil good and good evil. I think we're living in those days. The Bible also says that the days of the judges were such days, days when men called evil good and good evil. And I think we're living in those days. We got to be careful to call sin what it is. It is a great wickedness, even if you're struggling with it. It's funny because we'll be pretty harsh with something when it's on someone else, but when we're struggling with it all of a sudden, well, I have this struggle with this. We don't have a tendency to call it what it is, even if you're struggling. Call it what it is. Call out to God. God can even deliver you from a stronghold. And strongholds are hard to be delivered from. That's why they're called strongholds. If they were called weak holds, then I'd be on you if you could easily get rid of it. But it's a stronghold. And so we struggle. But God gives us how we can overcome them. So first, he cared about Potiphar. Second, he called it what it was. I will not do this great wickedness. And third, and sin against God. He knew that every sin ultimately is against God. David knew that. David, after he had sinned with Bathsheba, you remember he looked out over his porch and he saw Bathsheba taking a bath. I don't know if there's any connection between her name and bath. That's in English, by the way. It's not there in the Hebrew. But he then called her to his palace and he slept with her. Do you know that it ended up in destruction and death, just as the Bible says that it would? It ended up being horrible for him. Later on, when he was dry and broken before God, he said, it is against you and you alone I have sinned. And you might say, what about Bathsheba? What about your child? What about her husband? But see, ultimately, the sin is against God, and only God can forgive sin. Doesn't mean we haven't offended other people, but it means that ultimately it is a sin against God. You say, well, it's a victimless crime. It's a victimless sin. It's just me and that's all. No, ultimately you sin against God. I will not do this great wickedness and sin against God. And when we understand that, then we go to him for forgiveness. And we make things right. At the moment that you ask him to forgive you, he'll forgive you. It's an amazing thing about our God. But right now, as you're listening to this, no matter what you have done, no matter how black and dark your sin is, if you say to him, Lord, forgive me, he will forgive you. And you can leave this place as white as snow. And you know, I find it, when I understand that my relationship with God is right, I find that I have a harder time entering into sin. It's like when I get a new pair of white tennis shoes. I'm really careful with them for a few days until they're marked up, and then I forget about them. You get your life right with God, and there's just something about that righteousness and that purity that helps us. Now, he had to have it right when he entered into this temptation. You've got to have these things in line before this temptation comes out of nowhere and grabs you. So the first wave of temptation hits him. It's a very direct temptation, and then it goes out. It's done, and he's still standing. Now there's a second wave of temptation, and we find that in verse 10. So it was, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. The second temptation was not that very direct, out of the blue, lie with me, but it was day by day. He'd come into the house, and there she was, her perfume and dressed in a seductive way and trying to get his attention day by day. Sometimes the more difficult temptation to overcome is the one that you are faced with day by day by day, because it's looking for a moment of weakness when you would give in to it. How do we overcome that temptation which is there day after day after day after day? I think we find it here. in his response. It says that he would not be with her, lie with her, or be with her. He wouldn't even go into the house. He'd walk up and see her walk out the door, and he'd turn around and walk back the other way. He wouldn't be in the same room with her. He tried to avoid her. He realized that if he was going to be victorious over this temptation, that he was going to have to make some changes in his lifestyle. He made some radical changes. Now, Jesus said the same thing. He said, if your right hand offends you, then cut it off. Those are some pretty heavy words, aren't they? If your right eye offends you, he said, rip it out of your head. Now, I always want to throw in, he didn't mean literally, because I'm afraid that somebody here is going to go home and chop off their hand. If you cut your right hand off, you still can sin with your left hand, right? You dig out your right eye, you can still sin with your left eye. What Jesus was saying is, if you want to be victorious over certain sin, there's got to be a radical lifestyle change, whatever that might be. You may go to the doctor, and the doctor may say, you've put on 50 pounds. Time for you to go on a diet. But you fail at the diet. Every day you have a couple donuts. And you say, I don't know what to do. I wake up. I'm not going to have a donut that day, but then I end up eating the donuts. And so you say, well, where are you when you eat the donuts? Well, I'm having my quiet time in the donut shop. Time for you to change your lifestyle. And you might even defend it. You might say, how dare you tell me that I can't go to a donut shop? Smelling those donuts doesn't add one calorie. I can smell all the donuts I want. Yeah, but you and I both know that smelling those donuts ends up resulting in eating the donuts. Before I was married, a couple of friends of mine, and one of them had gone to see a movie called Teen Lust. And when we learned that he went to go see that movie, we asked him about it. You know, just holding each other accountable. What'd you go to that movie for? And here's what he said. I don't have a problem with lust, so it's okay for me to go. Well, let's think about that. First of all, almost 99.9% of men in the universe have a problem with lust. So for some guy to say, I don't have a problem with lust, first of all, is a little unbelievable. That doesn't matter to me. I can be anywhere, any place, and I won't have a problem with it. Okay? Secondly, if we found that one guy in the universe that doesn't have a problem with lust, all right, would he go to see Teen Lust? What is there in that movie that would make the one guy that doesn't have a problem with lust go, I think I want to see that movie, Teen Lust. I'm going to go. The very fact that you go shows that you have a problem with it, right? You can't say, I don't have a problem with it, and then you can go. It's the same thing is true with people, I don't have a problem with alcohol, so I can drink. No, the guy that doesn't have a problem with alcohol is the guy that's not drinking. I don't have a problem with what goes on in a bar, so I can go out and, you know, bar hop. Then the guy that doesn't have a problem with the bar is the guy that's not going. The guy that is going is the guy that has a problem with it. And you can justify it like the person, I can smell all the donuts I want. I can hang out in bars. Don't tell me I can't hang out in bars. All right, I'm not telling you you can't hang out in bars, but I'm going to tell you that eventually it's going to get you. Day by day, eventually there's going to be a weakness, and eventually it's going to get you. And so there was a guy that came over shortly after I was married, again, another friend. And he came over one night and he was in tears. He was in tears and he was brokenhearted over himself and his actions. He had gone to a prostitute. And I said, where in the world were you that you met a prostitute? He said, well, I was at a bar. Well, he would have been one of those justifying going to a bar. He'd been telling me, the bar's not that bad. Not everybody's there for some reason. But there he was in the bar when in a weak moment, this lady came up to him. And he is heartbroken over it. Here he is, a Christian. Had he not been in the bar, he wouldn't have been in the position to do it. There's got to be a radical adjustment sometimes. Years ago, again, I was, two more stories. I was counseling. A guy comes in and says, listen, I don't know what to do. I'm staying up late at night and I'm watching cable TV after my wife goes to bed and I'm watching things I shouldn't watch. And then I repent and I call out to God and I ask him to forgive me and then I do it again and again and again. Now, the obvious answer to that, if you're counseling this guy, what are you going to tell him? Get rid of the cable TV. To which he told me, I watch ESPN every morning with my cup of coffee. I can't give that up. All right, then I guess keep watching cable late at night. In reality, what he needed to do was be willing to give something up. You want integrity? You say, I want to be like Joseph. I want God with me everywhere that I go. I want God to bless what I put my hands to. And I want the people around me to be blessed. Then it's going to cost you something. If it costs you, really, if it costs you what you do while you're drinking your cup of coffee, listen, go to bed with your wife and stop and get rid of the cable TV and you won't have the problem. I said one more story. I was just married. And I had a business and I sold it. And I went out to get a job. Jessica was on the way. So here I am, I need a job. It's the early 80s, there's a recession. I don't know if you guys can remember all the little recessions we've had. One in the early 80s, one in the late 80s. And it's the early 80s and there's a recession. And I sell my business and I go out to get a job, and I found one in an upholstery shop. That's what I did, was auto upholstery. And I found one for, you work on commission. You get 37.5% of everything that you do. Now I'm pretty quick in what I do. I could whip out the seats. I know it sounds like I'm bragging, but I could really turn them out. And it was good. And I went and I got my tools, and I went back and they showed me my workstation. Now I walk back, and all along the walls are Playboy pinups, or like that. And so I put my tools down, and I look at the wall, I look at my toolbox, and I look at the wall, and I go back out to the guy and I say, I can't work here. I knew that I was not going to be able to keep my integrity and work there. I knew I couldn't do it. So I needed to not work there. So when I told him, though, he laughed. You know, if you guys work in an auto shop, you know the mentality. He's like, I said, I can't work here. He said, why? Because of the pinups on the wall. Okay, goodbye. You know? And so I got my tools and I left. And I would like to be able to tell you that I got a job the next day making 50% of everything that I did. But I didn't. I went for several months. It sent me and my wife into one of the most financial difficult times that we ever had. You might say, well, it would have been good for God to honor you for that. But it's not through our easy times that God tests us. It's in our difficult times. It is then when you are tested the greatest. So is there something in your life that you know that you can't keep your integrity if you keep it? Then make a change. Go in places on the internet you shouldn't go. Do you say things to your wife like, don't you check where I've been? Or it's none of your business where I go, you know, physically, where I go. Listen, don't ever say those things. Number one, it is your spouse's business where you go, okay? Number one. Number two, she should check where you're at online. My wife checks where I'm at, checks my history all the time. If she went in, pulled up my computer, and my history had been erased, she would go, how come your history's erased? And you know what? I like that. That doesn't hurt me. That helps me. That helps me keep my integrity. She checks where I go. I'm not offended by that. She comes in, she'll sit down, she'll pull up the history. I'm like, what are you doing? Looking at the history? Well, go ahead. It helps to keep the integrity. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. So if there's a radical change that needs to be made, make it. If a lifestyle change needs to come, then make it. This is the kind of thing that's easy to talk about and harder to do. It's easy for us to look at it and go, well, he wouldn't go in and be with her, but it's harder for us to make those lifestyle changes, especially if there's a cost. Speaking of that, let's look at the third wave of temptation. The first one comes in, that direct temptation, he defeats it. Then there's that kind of barrage, constant temptation, and he defeats that. Well, now, but it happened, verse 11, about this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work, none of the men of the house were inside. Why do you think it was that way? She had obviously, you know, kicked him out. That she caught him by his garment saying, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. Now, a couple of things. Number one, Joseph has a problem hanging on to coats. Remember he had the coat of many colors. His brother took that from him. Now he's got this coat and she takes it from him. Number two, he understood there was a cost to purity. There's a cost, and he was willing to leave the coat behind. Are you willing if there's a cost? If it means a different job, if it means not working where you work, if it means whatever it means, if there's a cost, are you willing to have that cost? Number two, he ran. He fled from temptation. And so the Bible says, flee temptation. Sometimes you can make adjustments, and sometimes you run. You know yourself and you get out of there. You turn and you go. You get yourself out of the situation. The Bible says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. We resist Satan and eventually he'll stop. But we flee from temptation. There's no reason to think, yes, I'm strong enough to stay here and handle this temptation. If you find yourself tempted, get out. And remember that temptation is not sin. The Bible says that Jesus was tempted in every way that we are tempted, yet without sin. But if you find yourself tempted and you stay in the temptation, you are probably going to fall in it. You probably are not going to be able to handle it. And so he turned and he ran. Now, again, you might think that, so what did God do? God did greater things in his life. But that's not what happened. Look at what happened, verse 13. And so it was when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled outside, that she called to the men of her house and spoke to them, saying, see, he, meaning Potiphar, has brought in this Hebrew to mock us. He came into me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. Now, she probably cried out, but it wasn't from going to be raped. It was from frustration. Joseph ran, leaving the garment in her hand, and she screams. When it happened that he heard it, that he lifted his voice up and cried out, and he left, that I lifted up my voice and cried out, and he left his garment with me and fled and went outside. So she kept the garment with her until her master came home, and she spoke to him with words like these, saying, the Hebrew servant whom you brought to us came in to mock me. So it happened as I lifted up my voice and cried out that he left his garment with me and fled outside. So it was when his master heard these words, which his wife spoke to him, saying, your servant did to me according to this manner, that his anger was aroused. Then Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in prison. From the frying pan into the fire, from slavery into prison for doing what is right. Sometimes doing what is right will result in something worse happening to you. But that shouldn't matter. Doing what is right, doing the right thing, should be our ultimate goal. Listen, doing what is right is going to end up being better for you in the long run. In the short run, it might not be. In the shorter run, it might be bad for you. A person who is an opportunist has the tendency to do whatever is best for him at the moment. But that's not always what's best for you in the long run. In fact, I'm going to say this. Rarely is it right for you in the long run. So an opportunist takes advantage of what he can now and ends up hurting himself in the future. The person who says, it doesn't matter to me what it happens to me, I'm going to do what's right, is a person that benefits from it in the long run. In the short run, yep, it hurt Joseph. In the short run, yes, there was a cost. But God is in charge of the universe, and God's going to bless him. In fact, we see that even in prison, we pick it up in verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph. Isn't that great? Even in prison, how do you think Joseph felt as he was thrown into prison? Here he had done what was right and treating Potiphar right, and now he's falsely accused, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. And he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison, and the keeper of the prison committed Joseph's hand, all the prisoners who were in the prison, whatever they did there, it was his doing. Therefore, the keeper of the prison did not know anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him. Now, we also need to understand that this chapter we just read takes place over years. There's years in slavery and then years in prison. You don't win someone's trust in a day. Joseph spends years in prison before he gains his trust. These are horrible times for him. It goes on to say, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. Once again, God is with him, honoring that integrity. What is better? What you gain in a moment because you are an opportunist, or walking in integrity and knowing that God will reward you for the way that you walk? I want to be like Joseph. I want to be able to withstand the waves of temptation and be able to make my stand for God. I'll close with this. It's not during the easy times, the good times, the sunny times of life that our faith is tested. It is during the dark days that our faith is tested. That Joseph was able to withstand temptation in the midst of slavery and prison is significant. I don't know, maybe you're in dark days now. Maybe things are tough. Life has seasons. I've said before, I know something about you. You're either going through a difficult time now or you're gonna. You might say, I don't want to go to a church where the pastor says I'm going to go through a difficult time. I'm just talking about life. difficult times, hard seasons come our way, and it is then that it will really be proven who you are. It is then that your faith will be tested. But you must prepare for that now. You must make things right between you and God now. And then when those times come, when your faith is tested, you will stand because things are right between you and God, even during the times that are good or easy. Stand with me, would you, and let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you. Lord, we really do love you and we love your word and we are moved by the richness of your word. We thank you that way back here in the book of Genesis, we have a guy that's faced with temptation and yet he's able to withstand it. And we see where you brought him because of his integrity, because he was a diligent man and you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. And Lord, we want to be diligent. We want to overcome temptation. And Lord, we pray that in our weakness, we would find ourselves strong. And we pray that we would leave here and make the changes that we need to make, that we would be able to be men and women of integrity. Lord, we know that they are rare, but we also know that you can do all things and you can make us a church of people with strong integrity. We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed for just a couple of minutes. I want to give you an opportunity. If you're here today, you've never given your life to Christ. You've never come to that place where you've said, I'm done living for myself and I'm now ready to live for you. A couple of things that you need to know. First of all, when you give your life to Christ, Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, you lay down your life, you pick up your cross, you deny yourself and you follow me. Being a Christian means you lay down your life, you give it up. So you are saying to him today, I give you my life. Jesus himself said this, if you seek to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you'll gain it. You don't have to follow Jesus. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, you don't have to be a Christian. You can say, I don't want to be a Christian. I don't want to follow God. I like my life. I like living for myself. But eventually you'll lose it. So the Bible says, choose you this day whom you will serve. Choose life and live. And that's your choice. If you don't want to follow him, you don't have to. You get to choose. But you could choose life today and you could live. And if you're here now and you want to lay your life at his feet, you realize that this is why you were created. This is why you were made. And you want to begin to live for him today. Then I'm going to ask you to do something simple. Just lift your hand up now. Lift your hand up high so I can see it. I want to make my way around the room and I want to acknowledge your hands. First of all, sir, back by the window, God bless you. Ma'am, straight back, God bless you. Sir, back over to my left, that's awesome. God bless you. Sir, back right by the aisle, and ma'am, right in the front to my left, God bless you. That's great. God bless you, right there by the aisle, sir, that's awesome. Just raise your hand now, God bless you, sir, right here in the front, and God bless you, ma'am, that's awesome. Sitting down in the back, I see your hand, that's great. God bless you, ma'am, in the back. That's great. Just raise your hand now. All right. You can put your hands down. And I would like everyone, including those who raised their hands, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I have sinned. And I know my sin has separated me from you. I also understand that I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus upon the cross. So I invite you into my life and I turn from my sin that I can live for you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Welcome to the family of God. Amen.
We pray that the Lord is speaking to you in a personal way here at Practical Christian Living. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. For our local listeners, Calvary Tucson is open and holding physical services while being mindful of social distancing guidelines. Our East Campus at Speedway and Camino Seco meets Saturdays at 6 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9:45 a.m. Our West Campus, south of Palo Verde and I-10, meets meets Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. If you prefer, you can watch our service online at live.calvarytucson.com and also on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. Our online campus is available during East Campus service times. If Practical Christian Living Radio has blessed you and you'd like to donate, please visit PCLAZ.org. That's PCLAZ.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. Have you accepted Jesus into your life or have questions about salvation? Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson and Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. We want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KGUN 9TV. May we walk worthy while we wait for the return of our Savior. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living.